And now, Skin Deep on CJAD with dermatologist Dr. Ronnie Monk, answering your questions about your skin health and aesthetic procedures.
Good evening. It's 7:06, and downtown we're sitting at 9 degrees. Your host, Kelly Alexander, with you on Skin Deep with Dr. Ronnie Monk. Hello, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am fantastic. And did you survive everything that went on last week with regards to the election? It's been crazy,
it's
eh, the
been
last couple?
Crazy.
Because we're sitting in here, we have some monitors on, and it's still all about the election, it seems like.
I could barely concentrate at work. It's so crazy.
It's true. It's like the biggest soap opera going. So we have Dr. Ronnie Monk with us for the next hour. And just to keep in mind, Monk MD is actually a medical and cosmetic dermatology practice. Dr. Monk specializes in aesthetic dermatology and offers many different treatments in his office, including laser skin rejuvenation, treatments for acne scarring, rosacea, scar improvement, hair removal, cool sculpting, and injections like Botox and fillers. So this is all the stuff that he does and more. If you would like to speak to Dr. Monk at his office, the cosmetic phone number, very simple, is 514-937-2757. Their website, monkmd.com. But again, Dr. Monk is with us until 8 o'clock tonight. So if you'd like to reach out to us, love the questions coming in via text at 514-800. We'd love if you'd put your first name in the text. And of course, by phone, 514-790-0800. So, Ronnie, let's start off, I think, with, right out of the gate, something fairly serious. And in regards to skin cancer, I think I actually just had a friend of mine that had to go and get it checked because they were concerned that something was going on. And so, I think that kind of put a light bulb off in me. And I'm sure that that's a similar case for a lot of people that could be listening right now. So What does skin cancer actually look like? Like, are there different types?
So there's three main types of skin cancer, the most common types. Luckily, the most common one is called basal cell carcinoma.
Okay.
And that's a type of cancer that it is malignant. So it is a cancer and it does grow, but luckily it doesn't spread throughout the body.
Okay.
So it's not a dangerous cancer for health. And that's what I tell patients is it doesn't spread. It won't metastasize. It really stays local. But it is important to detect it and get rid of it, because if you don't, it can be locally destructive. You know, this is a tumor that's often related or is very related to sun exposure and sunburns.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people have it in sun exposed areas like the face or the nose, could be on the arms, back, anywhere you've had a lot of sun exposure. But what happens if you don't get rid of it is it grows bigger and bigger and it goes deeper and deeper. So I've seen patients, neglect it for years, a new bump on the nose, and then it just grows so gradually that over a period of a few years, it can actually really destroy the anatomy of the nose.
Oh, wow.
So although not dangerous, very important to detect it and to treat it. Other type of skin cancer that's fairly common and also not as dangerous is squamous cell carcinoma.
Okay.
So luckily those are the two most common types that won't really kill, but however, are important to detect. And I'll tell you how we could detect them. What we're really concerned about is melanoma. Melanoma is a cancer of moles, and melanoma has that potential to metastasize and spread throughout the body and kill. So melanoma, the way to detect it is you have a brown spot or a mole that all of a sudden is changing quite quickly. Over a period, I tell my patients, of a few weeks or a few months, you have a mole that's either changing shape or growing in size or changing color. It's really that evolution that can signal that there's something wrong with your mole, and you should have it checked by a specialist.
Okay.
So melanoma, it is on the rise in terms of the incidence. It is a very important cancer that can have lethal consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody, the public, really needs to be aware of what melanoma can look like and how to treat it and go seek a professional opinion if you're worried about your moles.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones, like basal cell, squamous cell, much lower risks in terms of spreading throughout the body. But like I said, still important to detect because they are locally invasive. And the way those look is basically you have a wound, you have a lesion that's bleeding, not healing, it's just lasting and lingering. So I tell a lot of my patients, you get a new bump on your skin, a new red bump, it looks a bit irritated, don't call me right away. Give it time. A lot of things disappear. Maybe it's a pimple. Maybe it's an inflamed hair follicle.
Yep.
Give it time. If after 2 or 3 months it's persistent or it's continuing to grow and crust and bleed and just never healing, that's when you want to get an opinion about it.
Okay, perfect. Now, as you were speaking, I was reminded of, I think it was Hugh Jackman who had, he went on his social media, I think it was a year or so ago, and I believe he mentioned that he had to get some skin cancer treated on his nose. And I think this was like a reoccurring thing for him. And I think he mentioned as well at the time that obviously he's an Australian boy, spent lots of time at the beach. If you get it treated, can it keep coming back like it seems that it has for Hugh?
Yeah. So having one skin cancer basically tells me that you've had a lot of sun exposure over your lifetime.
Yeah.
And for sure, because of those risk factors, you know, you're more fair skinned. You don't have that melanin protecting your skin like a darker skinned person.
Mm-hmm.
You have a history of lots of sun exposure, sunburns. Just having those risk factors, you are at higher risk of getting multiple skin cancers.
Okay.
Once you've had one. Skin cancer, most common cancer in the world.
Okay.
So it is a very common phenomenon.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of them, I'd say at least 65, 70% of them are not melanoma. And okay. They're the more kind of benign skin cancers that are very treatable by a simple surgery.
What do you say, Dr. Monk, to someone who, you know, was a kid of the 80s or 90s and spent probably too much time outside before knowing that they should be slathering themselves out? Like, what do you want us to do?
I mean, the damage is done, right? You can't undo the past. I mean, you've had a history of sunburns, and the truth is every sunburn you get, you essentially double your risk of skin cancer.
Okay.
So what I tell everybody is don't focus on the past. You can't change it, but you can change the future.
Okay.
And that entails very good sun protection.
Mm-hmm.
I always advocate broad spectrum UVA, UVB sunscreens. I love zinc oxide as a blocker because to me, it is the best sunscreen agent that really blocks out the sun.
Yep.
And there's new zinc sunscreens that are super nice on the skin and not white, like a lot of the old zincs
were. Yeah, like the lifeguards.
You don't have to have a white nose if you want to protect your skin. But yeah, you could change going forward. Now, the other thing I do a lot in my office is I do a treatment called photodynamic therapy, which is actually an amazing treatment that combines, you know, a cream that we apply in office with a light. And what it does actually is it treats precancerous skin lesions and even superficial skin cancers. So I see a lot of patients that have tons of sun damage, are covered in what are called actinic keratoses or precancerous sunspots. And it's been shown in the studies that if you do some photodynamic therapy, you could really reduce the risks of evolving into a skin cancer. So there are things and ways that you can do to lower your risk of developing a cancer.
We've had a text come in to 514-800. It said, should moles be removed just for precaution's sake?
It's a great question, and there's been a lot of good studies on it. And I'll tell you, 3/4 of melanomas, which is the cancer of moles, do not come from pre-existing moles.
Oh, wow.
It actually comes from normal skin, and one day you get a new brown spot, and it continues to evolve pretty quickly. So the vast majority of melanomas don't come from pre-existing moles. So they did studies looking at, you know, patients getting all their moles cut off versus not getting their moles cut off and looking at who developed skin cancer and when, and it did not change the evolution of skin cancer. So the simple answer is no, I don't remove moles for precaution.
Yeah.
The vast majority of cancers don't come from moles and come from normal skin, but you do need frequent follow-ups and monitoring your skin. And I always advocate, you know, once annual skin checks, whether it's your family doctor, a dermatologist, somebody needs to look at your skin once a year to make sure that your moles are okay.
And should you be seeing a doctor once a year as of like a certain age, like 21, or like when do you want people to start doing this?
I think it depends on your skin type. I think if you have a lot of moles from the baseline, it should be done from an early age.
Okay.
I think, if you really aren't moly, I don't think you necessarily have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But whether, even if it's not a doctor, even if it's your spouse or your sibling, get somebody to look you over, look at your back, make sure things look pretty regular.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I actually tell a lot of my patients, take pictures.
Right.
Because that's the way you're going to be able to tell if one of your moles is evolving over time or not.
Okay. Much more coming up on Skin Deep with Dr. Ronnie Monk. We're going to actually have some more questions that have come in with regards to moles. We have some texts coming into 514-800. And of course, you can still reach us by phone as well at 514-790-0800. It's 7:15.
And now, Skin Deep on CJAD with dermatologist Dr. Ronnie Monk, answering your questions about your skin health and aesthetic procedures.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's Kelly Alexander, your host tonight. And again, Dr. Ronnie Monk with us until 8 o'clock, 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. And we've had a lot of texts actually coming in, so we're going to get to those in just a sec. I did want to mention, though, Ronnie, you have a special, I guess, promotion, we can call it, that's coming up in the next week or so. On Black Friday, which I've done my research, which is November 25th. Yeah. So I've done my research. I can't believe it's already Black Friday. Yeah, I can't believe it. It's so craziness. Yeah. But so you have a promotion going on at MonkMD. Black Friday only. If you book your treatments and you mention CJD, and you book it on that day on November 25th, you save the taxes.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. Are you also selling TVs too at the same time? Because that would be awesome. Very good. So that's, again, next Friday, November 25th.
Yeah.
Perfect. And if you want to call them up and make this happen, the number to call is 514-937-2757, 514-937-2757, the website monkmd.com. And again, for this specific promotion, make sure you mention that you heard this on CJD. And again, it's on November 25th only, Black Friday. Okay, so text coming into 514-800. And I guess we'll stick just for a moment. We were talking about skin cancer and moles before the break, so I want to head back there. It says, I have a mole in my back, which is raised and it has increased in size with rough edges, and it sheds sometimes. It's also quite itchy. I'm of African American culture. Should I be concerned?
So the question is it really a mole? Because there's lots of brown spots. There are sun spots. There's age spots. So there's lots of brown spots that can look like moles. Mm-hmm. So I think the best thing to do actually would be to get it checked either by a family doctor or a medical professional just to make the diagnosis.
Yeah.
A lot of the times people get what are called seborrheic keratoses, which are these kind of thick, warty, age type of spots that tend to be rough and flaky and yep. can sometimes even flake off and then come back. So it sounds like it possibly could be that.
Okay.
But yeah, it's hard to know until you really see it, what it is exactly.
Okay. So this person should reach out to someone, to you at your office to
Or even just their family doctor.
Their family doctor. Okay.
Can easily, you know, if it's an obvious thing, can easily help them.
Okay. Perfect. 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. Another one here from Lou says, what are skin tags and what can be done to remove them and prevent their occurrence?
So skin tags are basically little outpouchings of skin that really everybody gets as you get older.
Okay.
Happens frequently in the folds, like in the armpits, the neck, sometimes in the groin. They're pretty harmless. It's really more of a cosmetic or aesthetic issue.
Okay.
And there's different ways to remove them. You know, when I first started my practice, I used to snip them or I used to burn them with a bit of liquid nitrogen. But my practice has kind of evolved more into a laser practice now. And mm-hmm. I find that with laser, the laser's a bit more precise than the other technologies.
Yeah.
And so lower risks of leaving scars or marks, I find, when done with laser. So that's what I do now in my practice.
Okay, perfect. Another text from Shannon says, I have lots of chin hair. What's the best way to get rid of it permanently?
So it depends on the quality of the hairs. If they're dark, coarse hairs, mm-hmm. then definitely laser hair removal is the way to go.
Okay.
What the laser does to the hair is it targets the pigmentation or the melanin in the hair follicle.
Okay.
And then through that, it causes kind of a heating of that follicle and will permanently destroy the hair follicles.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So by doing laser hair removal, you can really get a long-lasting permanent hair reduction. So that would be my advice. Now, if they're blonde hairs, there's no pigmentation in there to be targeted by the laser.
Yeah.
So the laser is not going to work.
Okay.
So in that case, there is probably electrolysis is the best bet.
Okay.
And although it works well to reduce the hairs, it's a lot slower and you need more sessions compared to a laser hair removal.
Oh, wow. The one time you thought being blonde would help and it doesn't really, it's not working
not
out.
For laser hair.
Yeah. Actually, for someone who is maybe not as up to speed on laser hair removal as others might be, what areas do you really target with that?
You can really do any areas where you have dark, coarse hairs.
Okay.
So, I mean, popular areas that are done is armpits, legs, arms, many women, bikini.
Okay.
You can really do any area where you have the hairs.
Mm-hmm.
The only area where I don't tend to treat is around the eyes, like the eyebrows, for example, just because the laser does target the melanin or the pigmentation,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of that in the eye. So a bit more of a risky area to target the eyebrows.
Well, that's good to know.
But otherwise, you can really do it anywhere. What's key with laser hair removal is mm-hmm. not all lasers are created equally.
Yeah, yeah.
And so a lot of what's out there, a lot of people do more IPL laser hair removal, which, you know, you do get reduction, but it takes a lot of treatments. It could take 15, 20 sessions before you really reduce the hairs.
Yeah.
In my office, I have a diode laser, so mm-hmm. it's a 8-10 nanometer laser, which is one of the best for hair removals. And with my technology, I find 6 to 8 treatments, and we really get beautiful reduction.
Okay, perfect. 514-790-0800 by phone, 514-800 by text. How do I get rid of bags under my eyes, this texter says?
That's not an easy question.
Okay.
So bags under the eyes are really multifactorial. A lot of the time, people have either little veins under their eyes
yep.
or some pigmentation under their eyes. So when I see that, we do some laser, either IPL rejuvenation or a laser that targets the pigmentation or the veins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite helpful to even out the skin tone.
Okay.
I find the most common reason for under eye bags yep. is actually volume loss.
Oh.
So a lot of people have what's called a pronounced tear trough.
Okay.
So it's just like an indentation or a concavity right below their eyes. And the way the light kind of reflects off there gives a dark shadow effect. So that's actually something that I address with fillers.
Okay.
And by filling both that tear trough or that concavity very gently with a nice filler that kind of fills it in and corrects that concavity
mm-hmm.
and also addressing some of the cheek volume loss, the result can be incredible and look extremely natural. And to me, it makes the biggest difference for under eye bags.
You're listening to Skin Deep with Dr. Ronnie Monk here on CJD. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about acne. Also, if there are any non-surgical alternatives to liposuction. My name is Kelly Alexander. Thanks so much for listening to us here on CJAD.
And now, Skin Deep on CJAD with dermatologist Dr. Ronnie Monk, answering your questions about your skin health and aesthetic procedures.
7:36, 9 degrees in downtown Montreal. Your host, Kelly Alexander, alongside Dr. Ronnie Monk. I have to ask you, did you get to go outside at all today? Because it was so gorgeous.
I went outside when I walked here to okay. the station.
That was it? To visit the office, eh?
But it's been nice the past couple of days. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, I wanted to ask you because I think it's a false sense of security sometimes, like when we're in weather like this where it's a bit colder. Obviously, today was gorgeous and so was yesterday. Because I know when I went out for my run yesterday, I was just going to, it was in the afternoon and I was like, oh, I'm just going to go. And then I was like, no, put on your sunblock.
Yeah.
Do you find that people get lulled into not doing that as it turns to fall into winter?
Well, nobody wears sunscreen in the fall and the winter. But what people don't understand is that UVA, mm-hmm. which is those rays that age your skin and cause yeah. your wrinkles and your brown spots and contribute to cancer,
mm-hmm.
are the same. In the
okay.
winter, in the summer, they're always constant.
Okay.
And if you're at a window, like we're at a big window office here at
yeah.
CJD,
mm-hmm.
you get tons of sun through the window and the UVA rays penetrate.
Wow.
So UVB, which causes sunburns,
mm-hmm.
does not penetrate. So you'll yeah. never get a sunburn through the window,
right.
which is why people think they're not getting burnt. They're not getting any sun on their skin.
Yeah.
But UVA does go through.
Wow.
So if you care at all about how your skin looks and preserving your skin health,
mm-hmm.
you need a sunscreen all the time. So me personally, I wear a zinc sunscreen every single day.
Oh, wow.
Always.
Okay. Okay.
And it doesn't matter what the season is. I mean, I always want to protect my skin and I advocate that for my patients.
Okay, perfect. Well, good to know. And I'm glad I asked that because I just think like I was one of those people that would get into that false sense of like, oh, it's cold out. It's not that bad. And then I, you know, whatever. So I'm glad we've answered that tonight. Now, 514-790-0800 by phone if you'd like to speak to Dr. Monk again here until 8 o'clock. And of course, by text message as well at 514-800. So can we move along? We actually had a text come in to 514-800 with regards to hands. And this lady, Lisa, says that she has old-looking hands, and she wants to know if there's anything that can be done. She doesn't give her age, but...
There is a lot of stuff that could be done to the hands. So, you know, most people, as we get older, we get all these brown spots and age spots. And what happens a lot with the hands is you get kind of a thinning of the skin and the veins show through. So there's a few things that we do commonly in my office. One of them is, you know, a bit of photorejuvenation or IPL treatments on the hands. It's great because it really is a full hand procedure. So
okay.
we really treat the entire hand. And after one or two sessions, your hand is pretty clear. It's amazing at how it reduces those brown spots and the sunspots. So if that's a concern for you, definitely something that can be done quite easily. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I do actually quite a bit, which people are always surprised about, is I fill the hands.
Oh.
So, you know, when you have this thin, thin skin and the veins show through, mm-hmm. it's because the skin is so thin and the veins are right up to the surface.
Okay.
So what the filler does is it provides a very natural layer right between the superficial skin and the veins below.
Mm-hmm.
And all it does is hide those veins.
Oh.
Just a little bit of filler is necessary. It usually lasts for about a year. So I do it once a year for many people.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives a very, very natural smoothening of the skin and hiding those veins. And it really does make the hands look a lot more youthful.
Is there an age, Dr. Monk, where people should start that?
You know, I think once you start to notice those brown spots, I would think about doing the photo rejuvenation.
Okay.
And you know, look, I'm, how old am I? I'm 32 and I already have quite veiny hands, but it doesn't bother me. So
right.
I leave it.
Yeah.
But I know that for a lot of these women in their 50s, 60s, you know, where the veins really are prominent and bulging, I mean, it makes a huge difference.
Okay. Now, another question has come in, via text at 514-800, from Susan, and it says, I have rosacea and I'm always red. Is there anything to do for the redness?
For sure. So, you know, rosacea, for those that don't know, is basically a chronic skin condition where you're prone to get very flushed and hot, and your skin is very prone to redness.
Mm-hmm.
And there's specific triggers like sun exposure, alcohol, spicy foods, coffee, tea, that just will make you red no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, when you first develop it, the redness kind of comes and goes as you flush.
Yeah.
But eventually that redness tends to persist and stay.
Okay.
The best treatments out there for redness is really laser treatments. So there's a few specific lasers that basically target those vessels right below the surface of the skin,
mm-hmm.
and heat them up, and those vessels will dissipate. So it's so funny because I got so many people in my office and they're so red, and I ask them, like, does your redness bother you? And they tell me, really, it doesn't, because they're so used to it. They've had it all their lives and they didn't really know that there were treatment options out there.
Wow.
To even out their skin tone. But I show them pictures, I show them patients that I've done, and it's amazing how the laser after 3 or 4 sessions will just totally even up the skin tone, improve the redness. Now, it's not permanent because mm-hmm. rosacea is a chronic condition, and
yeah.
over the years, the redness does come back. So, you know, you get a control on the redness, you do it maybe every 4 or 5 years, aggressive treatments. There's really not much downtime. I say aggressive, but it's really not aggressive. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a couple days of a bit of swelling and that's it.
Okay.
And you can really get a good control on your skin tone.
Is rosacea at all in the same family as someone who would be suffering from vitiligo?
No. Totally no? different.
Okay.
So vitiligo is basically an autoimmune condition
okay.
where your immune system's attacking the pigmentation in the skin, whereas rosacea is basically it's not autoimmune, but it's a reactive condition
okay.
where you have these veins that are just, and your blood vessels are hyperactive and they dilate easily, and that causes the redness.
Oh, okay.
So two totally unrelated conditions.
Okay.
Rosacea is pretty common. I'd say 5 to 10% of all the population has rosacea, whereas vitiligo is more of a rare phenomenon, maybe mm-hmm. 1 or 2%, even less than that.
Is that something that you would deal with, or is that something like...
For sure. I see yeah. quite a bit of vitiligo.
Yeah.
That's the type of thing that Michael Jackson had
yes.
and lost mm-hmm. his pigmentation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you notice it a lot more in darker skin types because that contrast is so obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of lighter skin people also have vitiligo. It's just not as evident.
And what can you do for that, Dr. Monk?
The most important thing with people with vitiligo is really sun protection.
Okay.
Because they don't have that natural melanin or pigmentation that protects their skin from sun damage and skin
yeah.
cancers and so forth. So that's the most important thing. And then really one of the mainstays of treatment is like a cortisone cream to help reduce the inflammation.
Oh.
By reducing the inflammation in those white areas, you can often stimulate the pigmentation to come back. So it doesn't work all the time, but mm-hmm. that's probably the best first line treatment for vitiligo.
And are you born with that?
No.
No.
It's an autoimmune thing where it can happen in your teenage years. It can happen in childhood. It could also happen in adulthood for the first time.
Oh, wow.
And it's just your immune system, for whatever reason, goes a bit haywire and starts to attack your pigmentation.
Okay. And once you have it, do you have it? Like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't really get rid of it. Although, like I said, with some treatments, some cortisone creams, good sunscreen, whatever, you can often repigment and make it look pretty normal.
Okay.
And makeup is a huge thing.
Right.
You know, with makeup, there's such good advances fragrances and makeups these days to match your skin tones,
yeah,
that you could really hide it well.
Speaking of makeup, I wanted to ask you this. You know, so many of us obviously use it, whether it's concealer or whatever. Is it, like, how important is it for people to make sure that they remove the makeup at the end of the day? Because there's so many of us that are exhausted and we just fall asleep. I know some people are super on it and they have their face regimen at night.
Yeah.
But can you maybe just, you know, give us your thoughts on that?
I think it's important because, you know, the more stuff you're putting on your skin, the more you're going to block your pores. And
right,
blocking pores is really what predisposes you to whiteheads and blackheads and breakouts and oily skin.
Okay.
So I think it's important to remove your makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, like skincare, any creams, not all makeup is created equally.
Right.
So actually what I love and what I really advocate for my patients is mineral-based makeups.
Okay.
Because they're beautiful makeups. They don't really penetrate the pores and block the pores. So for oilier or acne-prone skin types, mineral makeups are excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, these mineral makeups have zinc oxide or titanium dioxide. So you get amazing sun protection in your makeup. So a lot of the times when you come see me as a patient, I get you to go see a skincare specialist who can really counsel you on good use of skincare creams and makeups and so forth.
Perfect. You're listening to Skin Deep with Dr. Ronnie Monk on CJAD. It's 7:45. My name is Kelly Alexander. When we come back, we're going to talk about excessive sweating. This is something that we really want to bring your to your attention. So that's all coming up. Again, if you have questions, 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. Time to head off to the CJD Traffic Center. Here comes Leslie Robinson.
And now, Skin Deep on CJAD with dermatologist Dr. Ronnie Monk, answering your questions about your skin health and aesthetic procedures.
Thank you so much for spending time with us on the show tonight. It's your host, Kelly Alexander, alongside Dr. Ronnie Monk. You still have time to reach out to us at 514-790-0800 by phone and 514-800 by text. Dr. Monk, we actually had a text come in from Pam. How do you treat, oh my goodness, are you going to explain that word?
A Venus lake.
There we go.
So the question is, how do you treat a Venus lake on the lip? Is it dangerous? So Venus lake is basically, a lot of older people get it, although it can happen in 40s or 50s as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically a big vein that happens usually on the lower lip, can also happen on the ear. And it just looks kind of like a blue bump. Bluish purple bump on the lip. So that's actually, it's not dangerous at all.
Okay.
The important thing is to make the diagnosis that it truly is a vessel and not, you know, a pigmented mole or something like that.
Okay.
But if it is actually just a venous lake, then the best treatment for it actually is laser.
Okay.
And the best laser is a 1064 nanometer laser,
mm-hmm,
which goes quite deep and delivers heat into those veins.
Okay.
And causes those veins to collapse. And the beauty with it is it really doesn't leave any scars or marks. Usually takes about 2 to 3 sessions. I do them 2-3 months apart,
mm-hmm,
and it just collapses those veins beautifully. It's actually the same laser that I do leg veins with.
Oh, I see.
So it just, it selectively heats up those veins right below the surface of the lip or the skin, and they disappear.
It sounds like a very elegant thing to have, a Venus lake, is, I have to say.
Why would you want to get rid of it?
Exactly. It sounds super awesome. So we wanted to get to as well, excessive sweating in armpits. Can you talk about this?
Yeah, so it's a really common problem. I see a lot of people every month with, you know, sweating in their armpits, their hands, their feet, and they're obviously very bothered by it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I tell all these people that there's different options. You know, there's topical antiperspirants, which are basically aluminum chloride, you know, things like in your deodorants and that sort of thing. That basically the aluminum chloride can plug those sweat glands and reduce the sweating.
Mm-hmm.
The downfall to them is they're quite irritating and you really have to use them constantly to get the reduced sweating,
yep,
the benefit and so forth. So what I love to do in my office and what I really advocate is Botox.
Okay.
Because Botox is basically a neuromodulator, which means that it affects the nerve effect on the sweat glands and it reduces that nerve output. So the sweat glands can't get that signal from the nerves and it drastically stops the sweating. So, you know, I do my common thing is I do Botox in both armpits. I put 100 units in each armpit. And with that, I get about 6 to 8 months longevity in no sweating in the armpits.
Oh, wow.
So if you're a sweater and you're bothered by this problem, and whether it's the armpits, the hands, the feet, you can do Botox once or twice a year and drastically reduce the sweating. It's pretty amazing. It's very safe. There's very few side effects with it as long as it's well done. And it lasts a long time.
So now we have another text that's come in with regards to laser treatment for veins in the legs. What do you want to say about that?
So yeah, the same laser that I do venous legs with, as I mentioned before, that 1064 laser, I do leg veins with.
Okay.
What people have to know is that it works well for smaller leg veins, you know, little spider veins and that sort of thing.
Yep.
It takes about 2 to 3 treatment sessions to really clear up those veins. But leg veins are a stubborn problem. We're on our feet all day. It's related to gravity.
Yeah.
And so they do come back. So I often will clear the veins, and then I'll have patients come back every, you know, 2-3 years and just keep up on their veins, do a treatment here and there to maintain their results.
Oh, wow.
For bigger veins, I really think that sclerotherapy or injections of a detergent into the vein to collapse the vein is probably the best treatment option.
Yeah.
I tell people I don't offer that treatment in my practice yet. It's really a laser practice. But for small little leg veins, I mean, the laser works very, very well. And we have very good outcomes.
Perfect. Now, wanted to mention this. What are, you know, non-surgical alternatives to liposuction?
So the past 10 years or so, body contouring has become the biggest everybody wants to do body contouring.
Exactly, yeah.
It's really gained popularity, and there's been such an outpouring of technologies that have evolved. In my practice, I do cool sculpting, which is basically a technology that freezes the fat.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very comfortable technology. There's really no pain associated with it, or very minimal pain. You're lying on a bed, you're hooked up to the applicator, and it's meant to basically treat areas that no matter how much exercise you do or no matter how much dieting you do, the fat just is there.
Mm-hmm.
So love handles, front of the belly, especially for postpartum women, thighs, outer thighs, inner thighs, arms, double chin. It could really treat any area of the body where you can kind of squeeze the fat.
Oh, wow.
And like I said, very non-invasive technology, painless. You're hooked up for 35 minutes to an hour, and it just freezes those fat cells. They die. It's permanent. They never come back. And the results are amazing. So that's what I do in my office, but it's not the only technology out there. There's a bunch of radio frequency technologies for body contouring. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah.
The reason I bought a cool sculpting device was because I saw the results. I loved it. In one or two treatments, you can really sculpt the body the way you want it. So that's what I do. But it's a hot topic these days.
Awesome. And you can still go back to work, right? It's like not invasive.
Totally. I did my love handles. I worked out that night. It's a very painless thing. I mean, I had a bit of numbness for maybe 4 to 5 weeks.
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me, and it was amazing.
Perfect. Yeah. Now, almost out of time, but I wanted to mention this. You have a Black Friday promotion going on at Monk at MD, your office. And so the deal is this. If you book and prepay your treatment or your consult on Black Friday, which is next Friday, the 25th of November, Dr. Monk is saving you on the taxes, which is fantastic. So you need to mention CJD, though, when you do call for that. And to reach out to them, very simple. Their cosmetic phone number is 514-937-2757, 514-937-2757, and of course their website, monkmd.com. Dr. Monk, thank you so much for this. Can't wait for you to come back next month.
I'm looking forward to it. Thanks.
Excellent. Kelly. That is Dr. Ronnie Monk. My name is Kelly Alexander, and a big thank you going out to Brian Kalasar for pushing all the right buttons. And of course, we wish you an awesome rest of your evening. Make sure you stay locked and loaded to CJAD.